I can't hear you. Can I hear you? Oh, I see your mouth moving, but nothing's happening. Yeah. Actually, I should be hearing you because your volume thing is going up and down. What's going on here? Is that my problem? Unmute site. Hello?
Testing the...
Yeah, that was my problem. I muted the tab. That's stupid.
Oh, okay.
Man, there's only 5,000 different things to switch when you're starting a show.
Yeah. Well, good. Glad we found it.
Yeah. Glad that technical glitch only lasted 10 seconds instead of an hour. I'm just setting up. I'm a little behind, of course.
I should
have made the show 8:30 because my work got late. It seems like I'm going to be late all week, but that's okay. I figured I don't want to be too late because I have to get up early, so may as well just start now.
Yeah, I know. We got to start early too. I know.
Yeah.
It's busy this time of year.
Yeah, this is busy for my business. So there's already 9 people listening to this audio right now, which is stunning. I think there's many people here waiting for you to speak. So your popularity is starting to take off. I have a funny feeling. Just remember your roots.
Are you okay?
When you get big, just remember, hey, you were on the Fakeologist show. Not only were you with that doubting guy, Jimbo.
Mm-hmm. Jimbo's coming around.
Jimbo is coming around. He is indeed.
He's interested in the Fakeology stuff.
I love that. That's why I'm watching him, because, you know, I can do without the cow report and the dog report every day. Do you watch his walk and talks?
I tune in very briefly. I don't really watch him.
No. Most content creators don't watch other people, I've found. They're very busy. And I'm a little different. I'm not really a content creator in the same way you are. I am a content gatherer. And my topic is Fakeology and fakery. So I'm not a real content creator in the same way. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, I gather it too. Lately, I've been gathering all my Instagram has been a gold mine for me lately, and it's just been feeding me these little 20-second little videos that are just hilarious, you know. So, I don't think they know that they're doing a comedy show. I don't think they realize that we're laughing at them. But
well, do you look at the comments on the Instagram to see if people are getting it? Are they getting derided and mocked in the comments? Because
I read the first two, and they take it as being serious. It's like they put their hands together. Oh, I'm sending my prayers, and they put their. I see the first couple comments. It's like, I ain't sending this. I'm just laughing at this. I'm not sending my prayers.
Well, we know that all the military, all the armies, they control the comments. Like, if anyone thinks that there aren't that many real people in comments, I know you're in your comments, but. I just assume you, the commenters are in a troll army. They work on a base, usually the Air Force, where it'd be the IDF, the 77th Brigade, Air Force bases all around the world. They work the comments. I mean, intelligence agents, the army is in the hearts and minds business.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to win hearts and minds. So
yeah, they
want to make it seem like everyone in the comment thinks this way. So if you put your little post up saying this is fake, they'll mock the hell out of you. They'll deride you, and they might even just delete you, which is usually what they do. They'll just delete your comment as if it didn't exist.
Yeah, I've had that happen. Yeah, when I'm on a big channel, you know, people that get a lot of views.
And, yeah, but you're definitely on the radar. There's no doubt. And the trolls that are working you over, you're arguing with the military. You gotta realize you're not gonna beat the military. You're an army of one.
Yeah,
So you're not going to win. So there's no point in trying to convince a guy in a military uniform that this is fake. He already knows it's fake.
Yeah.
You know, so it's all part of the demoralization campaign as well to get you to just give up.
Mm-hmm.
Just give up. That's what they want. Okay, just give me one more sec. I've almost got the show ready. And then this is the pre-show, as you can tell. And we'll go about an hour. And we'll go through all your stuff. And let me start the show here. And get the video going. And here we go. Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday. It's November the 15th, 2023. It's a Wednesday. It's about 8:23 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Toronto time, New York City time. And this is the Fakeologist Show. And we do this show Sunday through Thursday around 8 to 8:30. Closer to 8:30 probably for tomorrow. I had to rush in the door, and I don't want to keep Fabulous Phil waiting, because I know he is very on time, like any good European, Protestant, punctual, German-like. Trains always run on time. Isn't that the old derisive statement that they put towards the Germans? But, you know, I have a German in my background, and I do appreciate the discipline. Is it a German thing, or is it a Protestant work ethic thing, Phil? What do you think? And welcome to the show, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, no,
yeah,
at all.
Both. I think a good work ethic, and yeah, I think it's both.
Mm-hmm. So is it Protestant or a German thing, or it's both?
I don't know where I come from. It could be German. But, you know, my dad's pretty punctual, and he's got English heritage. He's So...
Do you think
my mother came from Germany, so it's like, you know, it's...
Well, I was going to say, I guess there's my answer. Do you think the English hate the Germans? They're basically brothers.
Yeah, they're pretty close, and that's why they didn't want to go to war with each other. That's why Rudolf Hess parachuted himself into the back country of England trying to...
Now, wait a second. This is the Fakeologist Show, so everything is fake until proven real. Do you believe that story? Now, that story is about as kooky as any war story I've ever heard. Do you really believe that one? That one is a kooky one. You got to admit.
Well, it is kind of because it was the first time he had ever parachuted. And
okay.
It is kind of a
I was a waiting whopper. For you to say that is a whopper of a lie. Can you put that next on your hit list and go over the story and try not to laugh, please, when you do it?
Well, you know, I think I saw a video of him in English prison until he was like 93 years old or something.
Right. Like 93 is an occult number.
And so I don't know who controlled the airplane while he was bailing out.
There's a lot of problems with the story, Phil. Come on. I know you give them the benefit of the doubt a lot of the time, but the fakery goes all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Stupid is in the chat, and he said, is this the real fake nukes? Yeah, it's this is not the fake nukes. This is the real fake nukes, Phil.
Yeah, it's not the fake one. It's the real one.
And I don't.
You never can tell. You know, I might have a clone.
Napoleon says, I hope Phil doesn't get too immersed in the fakery going on now. I do enjoy revising history, however. Good evening, Ab. Good evening, Phil. Good evening, Napoleon.
Good evening.
Napoleon is a bit of a super fan of the Fakeologist broadcast network there. So thank you very much, Napoleon. I just want to make sure we are streaming everywhere. We've had some streaming issues when we had our transvestigator on Tuesday. We do transvestigator Mondays now, so. I don't know. Have you looked into the whole transvestigation thing? Have I asked you about that?
I find a lot of it compelling. Some of it goes a little bit over the top.
Yeah.
Like when they say that Arnold Schwarzenegger is a woman, it's kind of tough. Some of it seems a little bit far-fetched, but a lot of it does make sense. And a lot of it with the Kennedy family, and a lot of it with there's a lot of strange looking women out there. Okay, let's just put it that way, and some strange looking men. And so, yeah.
Okay, we're gonna go over your website. We're gonna go over your BitChute channel. And BitChute is just a hopping platform right now, I have to admit. And I'm on there. I got the comments working, so now I get a notification when people make a comment. So now I'm really into BitChute now, and there's a lot of good content creators. I like how you link to content creators as well, because that way we can find new content creators that we would probably never find. So that's a good thing that you do there. And you've got, this was a huge week for you, I think, in posting. Look at this. This is recent videos, and the whole page is full.
Well, they're all just like little 20-second videos, but, you know, except for that one Munich Olympics one that's like 5 minutes long. But Instagram gives me all these real short videos, and they just don't look real. There's something very wrong going on, that these people that are releasing these videos from Instagram from Gaza.
Where do you want to start? Because we can start playing all of them, and then you can comment on them. What do you think of the Munich thing? Do you think that was real or fake?
Yeah, that was fake. And so that was 51 years ago. And then here you had, it was the same thing. The Palestinians were taking Israelis hostage, just like they've done just 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, when the Palestinians took Israelis hostage from that music festival. I mean, it's the same story 50 years later.
Yes.
This conflict has been a broken record. It's just been, it's like, wait a minute, you know, and remember 50 years after the moon landing, that's when, you know, even the hardcore people had to start waking up. And so here we are 50 years after this stupid Palestinian conflict has started. And you know what? Even the hardcore people have to start waking up at this point. It's like this thing, the reason why it stays the same is because they want it to stay the same. The whole narrative is the same. And because it, obviously somebody's making money here.
Because it also works, right? The hostage thing is a pretty big part of the story. Although, are they promoting this part of the story much? Because I'm not feeling it.
I've seen some protests in Washington, D.C. where people are bringing photographs, you know, like the Sandy Hook photographs. Remember when people were bringing the photo? You know, it's the same thing. And 9/11, where they brought the lost and found posters of their loved one.
Yes.
Okay. The same thing going on with these Gaza hostages. They got the photo, and it's like, and they're bringing them to these little demonstrations saying, release the hostages. And it's like, well, here we are, another Sandy Hook, you know, photo shoot. And so, yeah, it's fake. Yeah, those 200 hostages that are being held in Gaza right now. Fake. This child just looks strange to me. The chest seems to compress a little bit too deeply. It's and the eyes look like a doll's eyes. And so I'm just asking my audience, what do you think about this? Because it doesn't look real to me. It doesn't look like a real human being to me. I know.
Now, normally they have a mask over the mouth. And I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure you put the mask over the whole face. This having air pump into the open mouth doesn't do anything.
Yes.
Do you need to be a doctor to know that?
Yeah, it looks strange to me. Yeah. And also the...
And what the hell is this?
Yeah, and there's random spots of blood around his body. It's like, what, didn't nobody bother to wipe these random...
Yeah, you don't leave lacerations open. You might want to tend to them or do...
Yeah.
Does anyone here watch the hospital shows? Like, did you? I grew up with Gage and DeSoto on Emergency. That was my favorite show in the 70s. You remember that?
I think I remember it. I never watched it, though.
Emergency. So we, you know, with, those guys, I don't remember if they had any bodies that they worked on. I don't remember that because we're too busy just looking at the teenage heartthrob Gage there, Johnny Gage. But they played Hospital all the time. And I think with all the Hospital shows, I think the audience is more sophisticated. They know what good moulange looks like.
Mm.
They call this moulange, right?
They've gotten really advanced. Yeah, this looks like an advanced animatronic mannequin to me. It doesn't look real. So, but anyway, I just posted it because the people that comment in my comment section seem to be really they turned me on to these reborn babies that are being sold on Amazon, and they're pretty lifelike.
Oh, really? How much does how much do these reborn babies go for? I heard about them a few years back.
Yeah, I think like $60 but they're not even as lifelike as what we're seeing in Gaza. I mean, those are just the commercially available ones. The ones we're seeing in Gaza are military grade, ultra realistic. But they're definitely rubber babies. I mean, I'm putting it out there. You know, I've become the channel and Cloverfield. I get some of my videos from Cloverfield, and he does good work. And he also posts the rubber babies. And so, yeah, this rubber baby thing is becoming a thing. And we never noticed it before, but it certainly is a thing. And the Palestinians are using it. These babies are not real. And the whole thing is unnatural anyway. They run into a crowd of people and they're holding a baby, you know, a dead baby up in the air, you know, and they're doing a political statement as they're holding this dead baby. It's like that doesn't happen anywhere in the world. The only place that happens is in Pallywood. This Gaza Israeli thing is just so odd and so strange, and it always has been, and I think we're beginning to figure out why. The reason why it's always been strange is because it's just been a fiction.
So it's been a prop the whole time.
Yeah, I'm thinking. It's been a moneymaker.
Are
the daily challenge of finding food and water.
It's amazing.
Under the constant threat. Yeah.
So where are all the Palestinians then? Do you think they're in Gaza or do you think they're somewhere else? Where have they been? Are they in the West Bank? Are they somewhere?
I think they got moved to some safe housing and they're using like three or four blocks of old Gaza as a studio.
Okay.
Right now.
You mean the first part they want to redevelop? They probably...
It's much like Lahaina.
Yeah.
When they burned out Lahaina. It's like, where did the people go? Well, they brought them to the local hospitals there on Maui, or not hospitals, the local hotels there on Maui, and they...
Right.
Put in temporary housing. And so you're dealing with a core population, and you find some hotel lodging for them. But meanwhile, they're using about four blocks of old Gaza as a Hollywood studio set right now. And so, yeah, I mean,
and the question we ask all the time is do you think these are real Palestinians or they're fake Palestinians? And if so, why are real Palestinians going along with this? This is the hardest thing to get over.
Yeah. Yeah. And why did the real Lahainans, I mean, were all the Lahainians in on the folks there in Maui? It's a good question. I think what we're looking at is a capstone, again, another community capstone event.
Yeah, and, yeah.
You got the core group of people that are in the know. You got the periphery people that know there's something fishy going on, but they just stay quiet because they're getting taken care of. They're getting some lodging and maybe they're getting some money. I've seen some kids who are on a playground and they're saying, I want to go back home. I want the bombings to stop so I can go back home. That's what they say. And it's like, so what they're doing is they're relocated. They want to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to move for a little while they do this little Hollywood stunt.
Right.
And so it's like, yeah, so they're going to, like in Maui, they're going to go back to Lahaina and it's going to be a nice new town. Everybody's going to have a nice new house. It's like Sandy Hook, where everybody got they bought everybody at Sandy Hook a new house.
Right, right.
And yep.
That was a spook town.
Yeah.
From what everyone was saying. I think half of Connecticut is spooky.
Oh, yeah. I've never been there. Yeah. It looks it.
Sort of the belly of the beast.
Warning, this film contains some very distressing images.
Yeah, so...
What is the distressing image?
There's no distress.
A generator being used inside. That is distressing. You should never do that. You're a handy husband. You shouldn't do that.
That's right. Yeah, they carry this. They're supposedly pumping water with that generator. It's like that thing couldn't pump water up very high. I mean, And so I don't know. It looks like an electric generator that maybe puts out maybe 11 amps. And you're not going to pump anything very high with that.
No. And just enough fuel.
So,
no wheelbarrows in Gaza. Who?
Journey is short.
Yeah, because there's no wheel. Yeah, because they have to carry it.
And painful.
And they're wearing sandals, of course. You know, doing all this work with sandals.
Those are safety sandals.
Yeah.
Our moms in the north.
I always make jokes to the guys I work with. They walk around warehouses with sandals. I said, "Are you kidding me? You run into a skid with sandals, you're gonna break a toe."
We have to burn the water, the tanks on the roof.
Yeah, so this is a video I stole from Cloverfield, and it's eight minutes long. And
I won't play the whole thing. I just thought I would preview
that. You can fast forward it to like the last 2 minutes, because it gets. See, there's a paraglider running into some trees there. that's the paraglider that invaded Israel at the beginning of the war. Remember?
right. Okay, so this is a good channel. So you found another channel.
Yeah, Clover, yeah.
Filmmaker.
I'm already subscribed to him. Okay, that's cool.
Refugee Canada has been sending.
So he's doing some good work?
Yeah, he's doing good work, yeah. Yeah, he's...
He's doing a lot of work. Whoa, he's outputting similar to you.
Yes. Yeah, I'm stealing a lot of stuff from him. I tell him that I'm stealing from him, and he seems to be okay with it. I give him credit.
You're sharing. If you give credit, that's fair use, man. Wow, he's pounding it out.
Yeah.
Well, I got.
A lot of. He's posting a lot of fakery from Gaza. See. Yeah, and
I gotta put my notifications on. But shoot, I don't know if people realize you got to go under communications and set it so the stuff comes through. See, you got to click these boxes here because I don't get a notification when he posts. Okay. Unless I click these boxes here. I don't know if people know that. When I subscribe to a new channel, it always comes up unchecked. I don't know. Are you familiar with this?
I know where that is. Yeah. I try to stay on top of my subscriptions and I kind of know when they post a new one, but sometimes I miss one.
But you have to manually tell BitChute to send you a notification, I think. Is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want to make sure I got that right because that's how I miss half of the correspondence because it doesn't notify you by default, which is kind of stupid. However, we still like BitChute. I got to give him credit. It was really slow at the beginning, but now it's pretty fast, I find. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know how BitChute started off. It was peer-to-peer, so it would only share a video if it was on someone else's computer and open.
Oh.
So if only one guy had the video on his computer and his computer was disconnected from the internet, you couldn't watch it.
Oh.
So now it serves from a central server. You can select that. Most people just have it served from their central service. I mean, the whole point of videos and the internet is decentralized sharing. In other words, if you have to rely on one central server like Google and they take it off, then it's gone. But if you are sharing a video from 50 different computers that are mirroring it, then there's no way to take it down. The only problem is if people disconnect their computer or close their laptop, then they can't share it. So that's why it doesn't work very well. Anyway, that's a little technical stuff.
That's interesting. Yeah, you've got a lot of experience in this.
Well, that's the whole point of the internet. So we don't rely on these central servers. We can share connection. We can share videos, and there isn't one single point of failure. So if your computer is off or you're on holidays, as long as there's someone else with a copy of it, I can still watch it. That's the whole point of the internet anyway. By the way, I don't know what's going on with FakoTube, my famous video site, because I can't see tonight's show streaming, which is fine. Everyone is on YouTube right now and watching it, and the audio at fake11.com/stream1. If you want to, anytime you see a comment that you would like to read, feel free to read it out. Can you see it on the screen there?
I see a comment that just came in from Skibidi. It said, thanks, Phil. Your work is important, especially for Muslims and Jews who sometimes feel emotionally connected to the purported conflict. I'm curious about your thoughts on the mud flood. And so, yeah, I've seen some stuff on the mud flood and what's at the Tartaria. And I've seen some interesting old maps about Tartaria. And I've seen some interesting old buildings that have their first floor like buried. And it seems like they were buried. It was buried in the sand.
Yeah, so, I don't have much.
Curious. And some people say that our history is much shorter than what we've been told. And the mud flood would be part of that. Like we haven't gone 2,000 years since Christ. We've gone maybe 500 years or something. And somebody added 1,000 years of nothing to our calendar or something. I heard.
Here's a comment for you, from Jacques Croix. Sorry to cut you off. I just I'm not big on the mud flood.
I don't know much about it either.
Did you see this one from Jacques Croix? What do you think of this? They don't show any bodies from school shootings. Why the hell are they parading around dead babies all over the place now?
Exactly. That's a good point. Yeah. We never saw a single dead body from a school shooting. And then Gaza, they're showing us all these, they're using them as stage props at every press conference. They're holding a dead, some of these dead babies are like toddlers. They're like 8 years old or 5 years old.
But this is a much bigger production than any school shooting. This is a huge production right now.
This Gaza-Israeli conflict is a big production, and that's why I'm kind of, because everything I've learned about these school shootings has prepared me for this.
This is their 9/11, for God's sakes, didn't they tell you?
Yeah, this is Netanyahu said this is his 9/11.
This is 300 9/11s, but if you do the math, it's 3,000 for the Palestinians.
Someone, yes, that's right.
Someone was doing that. This is crazy, huh?
Well, they were reporting on the mainstream news on Good Morning America that the Palestinians have 10,000, at least 10,000 dead people for the past month.
Wow.
That's a lot of people. And so where are they burying these people? Mm-hmm. What are they doing with all these bodies? Now, I'm starting to hear reports that they're starting to do mass graves behind the hospitals.
Okay,
but they're saying that they're burying like 180 people behind the hospital. Well, you're gonna have to dig a lot of trenches if you're gonna bury 10,000 people. If you're gonna do them 180 at a time, and so
so that's a lot of digging. Yeah.
Yes, and
it's a lot of digging, and do they still use crematoriums, or are they using the new environmentally friendly sublimation where they put them in lime or alkaline rather and return them to the earth that way?
Yeah, well, I'm under the impression that when a people go through a real mass casualty event, mm-hmm. and they're short on resources, what they do is they put the bodies in a pile and they torch them with flamethrowers, and it's called a funeral pyre. And the funeral pyres were... we have photos of the funeral pyres in Dresden and... Mm-hmm.
Well, India uses that. India. They still do that.
And so...
Outdoor crematoria.
I would expect to be seeing funeral pyres in Gaza right now because they don't have the resources to dig all these trenches. Mm-hmm. I mean, whatever bulldozers they have to use those bulldozers at the front line. Mm-hmm. They can't be using those,
What about the tunnels? They could put them there.
I know that the tunnels,
the tunnel system.
Yeah, we hear a lot about the tunnels.
What exactly do they use to make the tunnels? Because as As we're told, the official story is nothing goes in and out of Gaza that doesn't get by without the Israeli getting through their wall. So how exactly do all the tunnel? Do they use spoons to dig out the tunnels, or like seriously? Does anyone see the problems with this story here?
Yeah, and you know that'd be what do they do with all the dirt? I mean, you know how do they do such a massive undertaking without the Israelis knowing about it? I mean, the Israelis have all kinds of surveillance going on. How could they do that without these? Because when you're digging a tunnel, you'd have to have a train system to remove all the dirt.
Yeah,
and the Israelis would be able to see that. You know, the whole thing is just a joke. We got to start reconsidering this entire Palestinian-Israeli conflict for the past 50 years. It's just been a joke the entire time. Mm-hmm. And it's been a hoax, and it's been a moneymaker. It's been, I talk about the Syrian civil war for 12 years, where Bashar Assad was doing a war crime on a nightly basis. It appeared that the national news was talking about a new gas attack at Douma, or a incendiary bomb attack where he would drop on a school, a firebomb on a school, and school children would have flesh hanging from them, and people would be screaming about a war crime. But here we are at the end of 12 years, and Assad is still prime minister. Nobody was ever charged with a war crime. It's like, because it didn't happen, because it was all a Hollywood show. And the same thing with this Gaza thing. We're seeing all kinds of pictures of all these dead children. These dead children are being paraded through the streets. And if you look at these Instagram videos, it's just a horrific war crime. But you know what? No one's ever going to get charged. Nothing's ever going to come of it, because it's all a Hollywood production, just like Syria was.
All right.
And it's nothing ever happens, because nothing did happen. That's why. And yeah. And so we got to wake up to that. You know, they've been doing this all over the Middle East. It's
well, the U.S. has a base in Syria. We don't hear about that too much. I'm pretty sure they have a base there.
We ship in all of our Hollywood fakery stuff. You know,
they have a base in every country. They probably have a base in Jordan. Probably have a base in, well, we know they have the Green Zone in Baghdad, Iraq. Mm-hmm. They probably have a base in Iran. So,
Iran is part of it. Iran pretends to be the holdout. Iran pretends to be the guy that's standing up to Israel. Like Iran is like pretending to support Hamas right now.
Yeah,
but it's all Iran's been controlled for many years. I'm thinking the whole hostage situation in 1979 was all a hoax.
Definitely. Yeah, there's tons of hoaxery there. I mean, just even back in the day, if you were following the news like I was, the idea that Reagan could just walk in and solve the problem on his first day, was that not the first thing he did? And
He got elected, and all of a sudden the hostages got released. I mean, it's like,
it was literally the first day or first week. And and the official story was, Iran was just waiting for him to get elected, and then they were going to make a deal with him or some nonsense like that. The official story was kind of kooky back in the day. It didn't really make sense. If they hate America, why were they going to cooperate with this B level Hollywood actor?
The Iranians would have known it was just another puppet. It's like the Iranians thought that Ronald Reagan was a genuine politician. It's like, no, that's not what they thought. And so it was just for...
They were managed even back in 1979. And what was the movie? Anytime there's a movie about a PSYOP, you know, that confirms the official story, you know it's fake. And wasn't it
movie about a movie?
Yeah. Wasn't it Argo was the movie? Mm-hmm. And I think that was the movie. And Canada was involved because it was our ambassador to Iran that was the one that really facilitated the rescue, made the deal. But again, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I remember the story of the four people, or the Canadians that got the.
There were a lot of. I think the I think there were 33 hostages. So the magic number appeared again.
Is that how many the Canadians saved? It was 33.
Well, that was the total. It was called the Iranian hostage crisis. They always give it a name.
Yeah.
And we can just look at these psyops and look for the numbers. Okay, it was 52, which is okay. Yeah, that's interesting. But anyway, oh yeah, here's some numbers. They were held for 444 days. There you go.
Yeah.
And they were released on Inauguration Day, January 20th, 1981. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, why would they release them on Inauguration Day? That's just so dumb. As if they're giving credit to our political system, our election system. It's like, yeah. The Iranians know it's just a...
It was just minutes after Reagan was sworn in. They didn't even...
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It was a whopper.
It was another whopper.
There's something strange about that. I always just thought, well, because they hated Jimmy Carter so much. You know, that's most of my life. That's what I thought. I thought, oh, well, they just wanted to give Reagan some kudos because they hated Jimmy Carter so much. That's what I thought. And but
who'd hate but a peanut farmer?
It's just like that. It's just because it was fake. I've seen so many, you know, after you go through the 9/11 threshold.
Yeah.
And you understand what level we were lied to on that day. And, you know, 9/11 should be the end of this entire cabal. I mean, then 9/11 should be the thing that just completely brings on the revolution. But,
well, it did for me. I mean, that's why I was focused on 9/11 for so long.
Yeah.
I figured if you can understand that, then you can understand just about everything. And yeah. That's why I harped on it. I thought it was way better than the JFK event. And I just thought 9/11 was just so well broken down that nobody...
So I've been paying more attention to the family members of the dead people from 9/11. And I saw that for 4 years, they were demanding answers. Like with the 9/11 commission report.
Yeah.
And then when the 9/11 commission report came out, they were unsatisfied. This doesn't answer our questions, but it's like their entire crux was just, they were kind of like just half-assed going into it. They weren't serious. They just, I mean, because if my family member had died in one of those buildings or on one of those airplanes, I'd be stomping my feet saying, this is impossible. The story you're feeding us is impossible. There's no way that these airplanes could have brought down two aluminum airplanes, brought down three steel frame buildings. I mean, it's just not physically possible.
You must have watched last night's show because I was playing the 9/11 actors.
Oh, yeah. See, there's one. Yeah. What's his name? McClane.
Bobby McElveen. And this is how people get really mixed up. They think, oh, there's all these families. They only really had one guy doing the representation of the families.
Yeah.
Now, if you do the math, if there really were 3,000 families, that's a lot of people. Now, of course, most people don't speak up, but you'd think more than one guy would be on tour all the time. But no, that's all they need. It's like a placeholder. And then your imagination takes over and extrapolates when, again, there's only one main guy, Bobby McElveen.
Yeah.
I even think they used his picture when he was young and just distorted it into a simulated child.
Oh, and I saw some other family members, they were like women. And when they showed up to the hearings, they would always bring like a photo, an enlarged photo.
In a frame.
Yeah, just like at Sandy Hook, and just it's like, oh my gosh, here's the photo thing again. They would bring a photo of their loved one, and so
you know what's funny? There was a guy, and this is a really good point. There was a gunsmith that was allegedly murdered by the Toronto police last year,
mm-hmm.
And it's a crazy story, and didn't get much action here, but. I watched the press conference last week. The family had held a press conference, and they had a giant picture of the guy in a frame at the press conference.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I thought, who does that? Like, I know you want to memorialize the guy, but is that something that seems fairly contrived? It's kind of like the professionally printed signs at rallies?
Yeah.
Like, who goes to that extent?
Yeah. If you go to this one video down here, the He Is Risen.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
You'll notice that the mother has a framed photo of her loved one. It's just like Sandy Hook. Right at the end. See, he rises up like he's rising from the dead.
Hold on, now, is he?
So see, she sets down the picture.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did someone prop him up? But then he just grabbed her. So no, he's alive. Yeah, I thought someone was holding him up for her. Here's the picture. Here,
rise from the dead. Yeah. It's the and she has a framed photo of her loved one there, like Sandy Hook. And so,
where do they get this music?
This music is
is that from Instagram? A lot of these websites.
Yeah, this is from Instagram. Yeah.
No, but a lot of the websites, they provide the music. You just type in sad music or something,
and yeah.
Although that sounds kind of Arabic or something, So is this video supposed to be out, or is this?
Yeah, it came. I got it off this morning. You know, check Instagram and see what the top ones are, and it's like.
But why would this one get out? Because obviously the guy's not dead.
Yeah, and so they're just messing with us.
Oh, okay. This is mockery.
It's mockery. Yeah, it's they're obviously not going through a mass casualty event because they have spare time on their hands. To do stupid little videos like this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you wouldn't have spare time to do this if you were going through, you know, what they tell us they're going through.
Yeah, I was hoping. You get mostly support. I don't see any pushback on your videos these days.
Yeah.
Is there a thunderstorm in California?
Did you hear that? Yeah, we got a nasty one coming through right now, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That one shook the walls right there.
I thought someone was angry with you.
one shook the walls.
You're in the process of being struck down.
Yeah, that one kind of scared me for a little second there.
All right. So no one is... Was that the IDF blowing up a building near you, maybe?
There's a thunderstorm rolling through. It was shaking the windows before we went on air.
Wow.
Now it's gotten a little closer, yeah.
Okay. Well, I know you're in the desert there.
So we got a happening going on here in Palm Springs. There's a happening. Wow. Nothing ever happens.
Will that make the news?
Just the weather news, yeah.
Yeah. You're going to get... Today we all got an emergency alert on our phones. And do you get those down there where they just make this really loud emergency noise? It's like a squawk. And if you're in the middle of a nap or something, it's really annoying.
Yeah, I get them. Our 911 system went down last week where you couldn't dial 911.
Oh,
and
wow.
So they alerted me like four different times. 911 is down. And they gave me like three alternative numbers. If you have an emergency, dial these three alternative numbers. It's like, I don't have an emergency. Just quit alerting my phone. You know, yeah. So that was really annoying.
Well, yeah. So we get those tests every so often, usually at the wrong time of the day. Either that or they want me to find a missing child, which has usually been taken back by his father that doesn't have access. And that could be 500 miles away. I'm supposed to go out and look for this missing child. You know, the Amber Alert system?
Yeah. Oh, I get those from time to time.
What am I supposed to do exactly when I encounter this child at my doorstep? Am I supposed to...
Yeah.
What do they expect me to do? Seriously, or am I supposed to go start looking now? Or this is good intentions just gone bananas.
Yeah, they've got us looking the wrong direction with this child pedophile thing. They got us.
Yeah.
The child abuse is happening, but I'm seeing the child abuse happening in Gaza.
They're using
children
sure.
as stage props, and they're training these kids to be crisis actors. And so there's something very fishy going on over there in Gaza land. And I've seen them train kids to shiver. They shiver in front of the camera, but And they've got like skin supposedly peeling off them, but it's not real skin.
Mm-hmm.
And they're training these kids to shiver in front of the camera. And it's like,
well, they probably just pull them out of the freezer.
Possibly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think so. You can just lower their temperature or put ice on them for a bit. It's pretty hard to fake a shiver, I would say.
Yeah, you actually have to train the kid to some of these kids are like 8 years old and they train them to shiver, yeah.
But if you put them in the fridge for a while or made them really cold, you could do that too. But I'm just giving tips I'm sure they know all the good tips.
Yeah. I've seen some girls pretending to shiver and they put ash on them and then they're shivering in the hospital.
Well, I was kind of worried with the crisis. I think there were a lot of crisis vaccine injury actors as well. Now, that was another tough one for me to wrap my head around. Why are these people faking vaccine injuries? Do you remember the shaky videos with the shaking?
Oh, yes. I remember Tiffany Dover when Tiffany Dover did her little collapse. That was the fakest faint I've ever seen in my life. I mean, she just gently let herself down to the ground.
Yeah.
I was never fooled by that. I said, that is the fakest faint I've ever seen. And then everybody was going hysterical saying, didn't you see Tiffany Dover? She died after she took the vaccine. It's like, that was a fakest faint I've ever seen. And when Damar Hamlin did his little faint on the football field, it's like, no, I saw him fall backwards and his butt hit the ground first. That's not a faint.
Yeah.
Okay. That's an act. And then he came back with a stunt double, somebody that kind of looked like Damar Hamlin, but kind of a little bit different. And they did that on purpose so that everybody would go hysterical again. Oh my God, it's not him. Oh my God, they replaced him. And you know, they do that on purpose just to whip up the hysteria. And I saw the hysteria on both sides as far as the COVID thing. And so I kind of stayed away from it.
I still think I'm not going to switch my view on the vaccines. I know some people think that the vaccines are fine. This is just to create division. I really do think a percentage, a low enough percentage, is killing people. And I do know somebody who, my age, that died 2 weeks ago that worked for us. And I don't know what the family thinks it was. But I think I heard that they are quite concerned that right after the vaccine, he started to go downhill. And I think he had a heart attack, which is just ischemia, which is what poisoning does cause, as far as my research goes. So I really think that people do die from the vaccine. I'm not going to switch my position on it. But that did confuse me when we have, obviously, people faking collapse. So I think that sowed a lot of confusion for people like me, and maybe that was the intention.
It was a very confusing issue. I know that my daughter got it, or she says she lost her taste and smell for 6 months.
Okay.
And she tested positive for COVID, and I had her quarantine at my house because she didn't want to expose her roommates.
Mm-hmm.
And so while she was at my house for 2 weeks, we were sharing food. I was trying to catch. I wanted to see what the fuss was all about.
Yeah. You're talking about your daughter? That was your daughter?
Yeah, my daughter. Yeah. Yeah. I never caught it. And so.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
For 6 months later, I would ask her things like, do you smell, like we would go through a neighborhood. I'd say, do you smell that? And she goes, Dad, you know, I can't smell. It's like, because I would forget. It's like, oh, you still can't smell? And it was like for a long time, like 6 months.
That's good for us gassy guys.
Yeah, that's right.
You really can't smell? Let me test. We're going to have enchiladas tonight. Let's see what happens in a few hours. See if you still can't smell.
So I heard people, you know, they caught that thing that made them lose their taste and smell for 6 months. And so my daughter got that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just seems to me like it was just a strange flu that people just lost their sense of smell and taste. It was nothing. I mean, my daughter didn't have any serious complications. I mean, I remember when I was going through grade school, I would get a huge bronchitis colds. You know, I would just cough my lungs out. It was just awful.
Right.
And back when I was going to school, the kids would pass bronchitis among themselves.
I don't buy. I'm really against the whole idea of contagion. I think that's a myth as well. I believe in getting sick at the same time because you're exposed to the same toxins or poisons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're a renta, a handyman. I really do think that certain building materials over time do break down and they do create a toxic environment. I was also thinking, well, you know how you hear stories about an entire cruise ship gets sick because they all, well, a virus is whipping around, everyone gets sick. And I'm not going to argue that the people are getting sick. I'm only going to argue that what made them sick. And to me, and Jim brought this up, and I was wondering if he was either listening to me talk about it or maybe he came upon it on his own. The number one way people get sick is water, the water supply. So a cruise ship, for I would say for the most part, has a closed water system, obviously. Now, whether or not you drink the water, you can still bathe in the water, or the kitchen could use the ship water to clean the food. I mean, those are all ways that everyone could get sick at the same time. I'm sure not the entire ship goes down, but enough of them get ill. So I really think it goes back to the water supply. So we have to look at common things that are in the air or in the water that make people ill at the same time, as opposed to this contagion theory, which I think is not true. Anyway.
Yeah, well, that's a good place. All I know is I'm glad that because ever since I got out of school and ever since my daughter stopped going to school, I haven't been sick. And so I don't know what the mechanism is. I just know that I ain't getting sick anymore. So that's just weird because in my younger years when I had a healthy immune system, I was getting sick all the time. But now the common denominator is that because my daughter would bring home this stuff from school and it would just get me sick. And
all right,
she would be sick, and her friends would come over for a sleepover, you know, and I'd get sick.
Okay, you know, it's just, you think there's some contagion aspect? So you believe that?
Yeah, well, you know, I was talking to her teachers. I mean, all the years going through school, I would talk. Her teachers all had a concoction and how they kept themselves from getting sick, and they would get sick. I would talk to other parents. And the other parents were getting sick too. And so, yeah, there was something going on, man. And anyway, I'm just glad I'm out of school. I'm glad that my daughter didn't go to school anymore because for the first time, I'm not getting sick every year like I used to. It's just, I would get sick 3 times a year. It was stupid. And here's the video from Gaza. It's like
vibrant culture.
So we've been told that Gaza has been under this massacre for the past at least 35 years.
Right.
And here they are doing a tourism video.
What year was this from?
It looks recent. And
okay.
It's been after
here's some fake hieroglyphs. I think
they probably are fake. But regardless, life is normal in Gaza. It's just like.
Is this Gaza City?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, this.
Great Amari Mosque.
That's amazing. Look at that mosque.
Great Amari Mosque.
Yeah. Life is normal there, just like it's normal in Toronto, just like it's normal in Palm Springs. Gaza is the same as everywhere else on the earth. Okay. The only time Gaza turns into this
war zone chaotic
is when you turn on the TV and you turn on Good Morning America or you turn on the nightly news. And then all of a sudden, Gaza turns into this place of turmoil and rockets are flying all the time all over the place. No, nothing ever happens. Nothing happens anywhere.
Mm.
And
I saw a guy went to Kiev that is a TikToker, and he was walking around. The only thing that gave a clue that there was something going on is they play the air raid sirens.
Yeah.
So there's some sound effects. There's some things to scare the people, but I didn't see any bombs being dropped in Kiev.
Yeah. No, yeah, that whole Ukraine thing.
Same idea.
Yeah, from the beginning, when they started posting those pictures of the dead bodies, they weren't dead bodies. And I mean, some of them look really graphic, but not really. Most of them look really fake. And so I knew within the first month that this Ukraine thing was fake. But I just didn't cover it on my channel because it's like it's not really newsworthy for me. It's too far away, and they're two former Soviet states.
It's stunning,
but they're not former. They're still Soviet states, and they're pretending to fight each other. And it's like, but when this Gaza thing, you know, that's more in my wheelhouse. It's like,
you're blowing the Gaza thing right out of here,
because people have always been talking about how we bring peace to the Middle East. How do we bring peace to the Middle East? And so now I find my opening. And it's like, this is how we bring peace to the Middle East, is we expose that it's always been a hoax from the beginning. It's been a hoax. There's already peace there. What's happening is they're doing a Hollywood production.
How much is the cost of college in the Palestine? Somebody.
One of my commenters was posting up all these websites showing how much it costs to go to
only $1,400, only $1,000 a year. Wow, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah.
Wow, isn't it $30,000 a year in the U.S. for most colleges?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. So you know. So there you go. You can go to Gaza and you can get yourself a college education.
You can probably pick yourself up a nice Mediterranean traditional wife too. Okay, you're not into that. What about those Palestinian girls? Did you do any work for the Palestinian?
I would suggest
that. But you've had some experience with some Mediterranean women?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I suggest that people stay with their tribe.
All right.
And I was fortunate that I found a nice Irish girl that wanted to have a family with me. And so I would, because I was race mixing most of my young life. But and so I didn't know any better.
Oh, I see.
It's only the fate intervened. And fortunately, my daughter's got a nice Irish.
All right. Okay.
Other side of the family.
I got it. I gotcha. All right. So you don't recommend.
I recommend people stay within their tribe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it makes things a little less complicated. That's for sure.
But yeah. Anyway,
so there's something going on in the past. So you can go to university in Palestine right now. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing going on. Everything in Gaza is normal. It's just
any good Jesuit schools in Palestine?
I bet you the Jesuits are everywhere. I'm sure there are.
Well, that's where all the elite get trained. Wow, they got the Gaza Strip has quite a few universities. Wow.
Yeah. You know, nothing ever happens. I mean, Kiev, I bet you can go to college in Kiev right now. I bet you that they're offering us yearly memberships for a Kiev university.
Big G saying one of the top NASA guys is a Palestinian. Wow.
Of an electronics engineer born in Gaza.
Well, that would make sense.
Well, it just shows you these hoaxes are international.
Yes.
All these... It's an elite thing. They hire everyone from every tribe, every religion. They're all in on it. So
yeah, we're under a one world government already.
Well,
the new world order has already been here. It's been here for a long time.
Right.
I mean,
we're just watching an upgrade.
Alex Jones keeps saying that he's fighting against the new world order. It's like, hey, Alex, it's been here and you're part of it. It's been here for a long time.
Right. Alex's job is, what do you think his job is?
Is to, he siphons off most of the people who suspect that there's something wrong with the news media. And,
right.
And he's the first one who gets the lion's share of the alt media.
Okay.
I think he gets like 6 million views per broadcast, which is a lot of views.
Right.
And so, yeah, he gets the lion's share of the first dibs. But then, you know, people eventually, after listening to him for a few years, get to understand that he's just another gatekeeper. And so it's a long journey to finally get down the line and finally get to some real information on the internet. But real information is available.
Yeah.
You just got to dig deeper for it, you know.
I think so. Alex Jones, like, I personally don't like being yelled at.
Yeah.
And when someone's yelling at me, I don't care how good they are, it gets grating. You can't share it. You can't share something. Hey, go watch this guy. He's telling the truth. No, he's yelling at me. I'm not listening to this guy. He's nuts.
Yeah.
So I think he probably gives out some truth, but he must turn off most of his new audience, I would say.
Yeah, he gives out enough to where people will stay on board for a couple years, maybe a few years. But after a certain amount of time, you realize that he's just gatekeeping. And
Via distance.
Right. So another.
I mean, I watch Jim Fetzer a lot. I mean, Jim Fetzer is the one who woke me up about Las Vegas. Yes. And, you know, I'll always have a place in my heart for Jim Fetzer. I mean, he yanked me out of, and he showed me how the trick is done. See, Jim Fetzer showed me how the trick is done.
Yes.
How they fake the bullets, how they use crisis actors.
Yeah.
But then he left me at the doorstep, and then he starts thinking all these other things are real. It's like, oh, Jim, how do you think? Like, he thinks the election is real. He thinks politics is real. It's like, Jim, how do you even think that politics is real?
His big one is JFK was shot. He believes.
Yeah. And he thinks that JFK was shot. It's like, yeah. Jim, you taught me that all these other shootings are fake, but yet you think JFK was real? JFK was the first, was the granddaddy of the fake shootings.
That's when they could fake a presidential shooting. If they can do that, that gives them license to fake anything. Mm-hmm. Anything. Yes. If you can make that story stick and not get like, most people do not understand that whole thing was a psyop fakery. That if you ask anyone on the street, there's probably almost nobody would understand that idea. Nobody.
Yeah.
How old is that?
I think
now?
All presidential shootings have been fake. I think the Abraham Lincoln assassination was fake.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Definitely the Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
Shooting was fake. I mean, the James Brady episode is the easiest one to prove that was fake.
Yeah.
And so you got to think to yourself, if the Secret Service was involved in faking the Ronald Reagan situation,
yeah.
Well, then that means the Secret Service was involved in faking all of them.
Yeah.
That means, and so, yes, the Ronald Reagan is like the Ronald Reagan is like the Shanksville of presidential shooting.
Exactly.
Like, you gotta look at Shanksville on 9/11 to see, yes. wow, there's no plane there. And then that makes you question all the other planes. It's like, these other planes must be fake too. And that's what the Ronald Reagan is. It's like the Shanksville. It's like, wow.
They didn't have to show you anything.
Yeah.
Did they? They really didn't. They didn't show anything. Okay. We had a bit of a shot of Brady laying on the ground. But we certainly didn't get to see anything with Reagan, the main guy.
Exactly. Well, Brady, he was moving. If you watch the entire video, his hand was moving. He was lifting his head on several occasions. And there was only a small packet, like a ketchup packet, of fake blood under his head. So somebody had squeezed a squib packet, and it's just a small amount. And he was fully conscious. He was lifting his head, and he was talking to the people above him. You don't do that if a bullet explodes inside your skull. Because remember, they told us that a bullet exploded inside his skull. Well, that means he would be unconscious, okay? Yeah, no, if you look at the whole video, James Brady was conscious the entire time. And
I was just doing a search for fake nukes, Phil, and because you did a video on Brady, right? You did.
Oh, yeah, it's one. Yeah, you got to go way back, though. I don't know.
How do you search on BitChute?
BitChute has a very bad search.
Yeah, you're not. I can't just search your channel. That's the problem.
You know, just go to the general search and just type in Reagan hoax, and then okay. My video should come up kind of one of the first.
Oh, okay, but I can't just search. Yeah. Okay, so I can do you.
So there it is. Yeah. Yes, it's like the second one. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
There it is. There's the Reagan hoax. So yeah.
Reagan shooting one more time.
Yeah. See that, and that's the actual video from the day.
Is this someone else's video? Or
it's somebody else's video. I stole it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but he did a good job because he got like four different camera angles from three different news agencies.
I found this really cool video with four angles.
And what I find revealing at first is that when the bullets ring out, the cameraman never flinch. The cameraman stay on the action. It's like, because I've worked with many cameramen.
Right.
And trust me, if there's if there's an assassin in the crowd shooting people, they're dropping their cameras and they're running for their damn life. Because you don't know what it is. It's a terrorist attack. You're running for. But the fact that these four cameramen never flinch and they keep their camera trained on the action is the biggest red flag that this whole thing was staged. Yeah.
I'm going to see if I copy this onto my video platform. Yeah. I think I should have. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I did, because that's a good one.
Yeah, the Reagan assassination, is very important because it shows that the Secret Service is neck deep in all this fakery. Oh, and if you look at the Secret Service agents on the Brady assassination, they look like they're playing cowboys and Indians. They're just really bad actors. It's really laughable. Yeah. Yeah, the Secret Service is neck deep in this.
Weird how some shit. The face of a guy that just got shot in the head and just leave it there. It's very...
It's amazing it's taken this long for someone to make a video on that. This is something here. This is why I think we only have a short amount of time to do all this deconstruction before maybe they make it much harder to get the video, get the word out. What do you think?
I've backed up a lot of this stuff. Like this Brady thing, I've got backed up on a flash drive. I'm backing up all my Gaza stuff because I know these videos will not exist, 6 months from now. They'll be scrubbed from or even 1 month from now. They'll be, especially the Gaza stuff.
You're getting ready for a scrub?
Well, I've noticed in the past where I can't find a video that really revealed something and that it just gets, you can't find it anymore. It just gets, like Debbie Luzanganian, she removed all of her videos when she busted open that Las Vegas shooting and she was getting a lot of views because, she was an attractive nurse. And when an attractive nurse is telling you how they fake something, 20,000 people were watching her videos. I mean, they had to get her off the air because she was too effective. She was waking too many people up. And that's what they did. And they got her off the air and she scrubbed all of her videos. I was able to save one or two.
Who is that? Debbie who?
Debbie Luzanganian.
Was she on Fetzer?
No. She was called Same Progressive. And I think Fetzer would mention her from time to time. But I don't remember her actually ever going on Fetzer's show.
He had one woman on. Was she doing Sandy Hook or Las Vegas? I can't remember.
She was doing Las Vegas. Yeah. Fetzer had somebody from Sandy Hook on. I forget her name, but they ended up sparring and disagreeing after a while.
Do you think by design?
I think by design. Yeah.
Okay. That was a setup, maybe.
Possibly. She was going to the Sandy Hook City town halls and she was pretending to raise a stink, but it was all, and she would make sure the camera was on her before she would make her stink. And so it's like, well, it's like, this looks staged.
Damn. There's very few real people out there in this.
Yeah. A lot of double agents.
Yeah. I know.
And and Fetzer, it's like he's a gatekeeper. He thinks that nukes are real. He thinks that
mini nukes.
Yeah, but however, he's had some guys on his show that have gone and explained how nukes are fake. Like he had this one guy, John Cathy, and he gave this guy 2 hours. And during the 2 hours, Jim Fetzer was just saying, "Well, you're making some really good points. You're making some really good points." And then, but at the end of the show, he goes, "But I still think nukes are real." It's like, but during the entire 2 hours, he was just praising this guy.
How long ago was that?
Points he was making. Yeah, I've got it. It's called Jim Fetzer and John Cathy, and John Cathy was this guy
Wait, that's on your channel?
I have it on flash drive. I haven't uploaded it to my channel. Maybe I will. It's a 2 hour. It's like an audio only.
I would listen to that. I probably heard it, but I would listen to that.
Yeah, it's a good one. And
John Cathy, Cathy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to look for it.
I
agree with you. He had a lot of good guests, and I saved a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see it here.
I've never seen John Cathy on any other of his shows, but I saved this one. I got it on flash drive, so I can upload it anytime I want because I got it backed up. But yeah, and yeah, maybe I will. Maybe that'll be the next one I upload.
Yeah, that would be fine because I'm always
John Cathy. Yeah, nukes are fake. Yeah, it was a great conversation. I mean, he talks about how Hiroshima was totally rigged, and he talks about how he makes a lot of good points. How Hawaii and Antarctica should have nuclear reactors.
Yeah.
Because Hawaii has to import all of its fuel.
And yeah, so I agree.
If nuclear reactors were real, then Hawaii would be the logical place. You'd have like three or four or maybe five of them on the island of Hawaii. But we don't have any on the island of Hawaii. And Antarctica would be the perfect place because you're surrounded by ice. And so build a nuclear reactor there, and because you can cool it real easy, and because you got to ship all your fuel down there to Antarctica, to what McMurdo Station is what it's called.
Right.
Well, McMurdo should have a nuclear reactor, and why doesn't it? Because you know the places where we should see nuclear reactors, we don't see them. And
I'm with you. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Well, that's John Cathy made that point. I thought it was a very good point, and. He made a lot of good points during the 2 hours with Fetzer.
Yeah,
yeah, I'll upload.
Upload that, and I'll take that and put it on FakoTube. That's a good one. Yeah, that's why we have these conversations because
we can
really brainstorm a lot of good stuff, a lot of good material, and very few websites talk about nukes or fake. I do my best because I'm convinced of that one. I came to that idea soon after 9/11 because.
Yeah.
My logic is if you can fool most of the people all the time, then you can play with them in so many areas. And nuclear is a good one, man. The money they steal just running these reactors that do almost nothing, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, so I see that Stupid said in the comment section, if the nuclear reactor melts in Antarctica, then bye-bye Antarctica. Well, wait a minute. We've had nuclear reactors melt right there at Three Mile Island, New York. We've had it in Chernobyl, but there's zero radioactive fallout in any of those places. There's no radioactive fallout anywhere. They've been lying to us about nuclear disasters.
Oh, yeah. Stupid knows that. Stupid knows that. Stupid is on board. He's heard... He understands all that. Yeah, the whole idea about the heavy water and the fish with two heads.
Yeah.
And I swim at the beach by our nuclear plant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We got one in Toronto, so it's on prime waterfront real estate. And I'm talking prime. Mm-hmm. It's sitting on that real estate it's sitting on the lake is probably worth tens of millions of dollars at this point. It used to be far out of Toronto. Now Toronto's so big it's in the middle of it. So I don't think it's doing anything. I never see steam coming out of it, which is interesting because for the first at least 15 years ago they said they were redoing it. Okay, so there's an excuse to shut half of it down. I get it. But I never see steam coming out of it. So there's really to me there's nothing happening there, as in zero. Although every morning thousands of cars go down. There's thousands of workers working down there, just staring at their little dials. What they're doing, I do not know. They even have their own fire department.
Yeah. So, I think they're compartmentalized. I think a lot of them think that the nukes are real. That they just go to work every day and they go home.
They never quit. Like, you cannot get a job there. Those are jobs for life. Those are acting jobs for life.
Yeah. It's like when you work on a nuclear submarine in the Navy, you're sworn to secrecy your entire life.
Yeah.
And that's why, because it's just a hoax.
Yeah. And I'm sure they're paid to keep quiet. I wouldn't take much, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have to.
You have to pay these people.
Yeah. And that's a big one because it shows that the level at which we're controlled. It's And it goes back to World War II because it happened immediately after they surrendered. The Axis powers had been defeated, and then immediately they went into the nuclear scare. It was the Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They had it ready to go. They had it, as soon as the Axis powers had surrendered, they had this hoax ready to go, and it was to scare the world that they could destroy the entire place, and that would scare the population. And you know, so this is why I tend to think that World War II was real, and that the Axis powers are actually fighting against the evil empire.
Mm-hmm.
And the evil empire won, and they immediately began scaring the population with these nukes, and just to get people living in fear. And nowadays we don't have to worry about nukes anymore. They don't tell us what to do under it. They used to train the public on what to do under a nuclear attack.
And duck and cover,
and where to go. Once you hear the siren, they would train you at your house where you should go. Nobody knows that anymore. We're not being trained that anymore.
Well, we have alarms in our area. We have 11 siren stations. Now, they haven't really said what to do if they go off, actually, now that I think about it.
No, they should be on a monthly basis. They should be giving us instructions on what to do. But they haven't been giving us instructions in years. Nobody would know what to do if a nuclear attack happened right now. Nobody would know nothing.
We don't drill for it.
When I was a kid, they would tell us. I mean, I knew downtown where the staircases were that went downstairs.
Really?
And they would have the civil defense. It was the CD.
Right.
It was a civil defense symbol. And wherever you saw that civil defense, that was where the staircase, just any staircase that went down, and that would be a better place to be during a nuclear attack. And so you'd just find one of those civil defense signs and you'd go, but see, there's no civil defense signs anywhere anymore. They've taken them all down. Nobody knows where to go anymore.
Was that an American thing? Because was all of America?
Oh, okay. Yeah, the civil defense was all. Yeah, we have. You can look up on YouTube the civil defense of America training the public on what to do during a nuclear an atomic attack is what it was called.
And, so every U.S. state went through that, because that never happened. I don't know if it didn't happen when I was in school in Canada.
Yeah,
at all. It wasn't even talked about, actually.
Well, here in California, they would train us to get under our desk for an earthquake drill. Mm-hmm. And I guess the two were the same. A nuclear and an earthquake were the same. And so it was just lumped together. But
they stopped talking.
I remember when I was a kid, I remember there like at the Carl's Jr. downtown, there was a civil defense sign. And my friends didn't know what it was. I said, well, that's where you go in case there's a nuclear attack.
You go to Carl's Jr., get a hamburger, and then get under the desk?
Well, the building it was in had a staircase that went down.
All right, bomb shelter.
There aren't many in Palm Springs. We don't have many multi-level. We don't have many buildings that have basements.
Here. Oh, okay.
And so, but the few that do had a civil defense on it, and so that you'd go down.
Oh, wow.
But not anymore. I mean, we're talking 1984. You know, when I was in high school, and my fellow high schooler didn't know what that sign meant. I said, well, that's where you go, nuclear.
That's pretty cool. So they were doing that in the 80s, but they stopped soon after, I think.
Yeah, nobody knows what to do anymore. it's like the nuclear threat just went away, and now we're supposed to be afraid about school shooters, and we're supposed to be afraid of, you know, Stephen Paddock shooting up a concert, you know. You know, but we don't have to be scared of nukes anymore.
That's over. Yeah, that's interesting.
We have to be scared of Adam Lanza coming with his AR style rifle, you know.
The school shootings have taken the month off for the Israeli thing. I think they were told to clear the calendar.
Yeah, where'd they go? It's like, yeah.
Well, there is a coordination involved for sure, I think. I'd love to see the PSYOPs calendar. I'm sure they have a master calendar where they have the dates for everything for the next year or two.
Yeah. So
they must have given the Israeli-Gaza thing a couple months just to work that, because that's important, I would say. Maybe the school shootings will resume in January or something, because they know that the public has a real high fatigue factor.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure like even on our local news, we get to hear the first story is almost all like if a truck doesn't roll over on the highway with some of our new Canadian drivers just to throw them under the bus, we get a story about a bombing at the hospital in Gaza, which again has nothing to do with me, this area. Yeah. It doesn't help my life. I can't do anything if it was true, but we have to know about it. And I think it just brings us, brings everyone's energy level down. It's just a negative thing. It's just to really bum everybody out, get everyone talking at the water cooler if there was a water cooler anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you hear the latest that Hamas's headquarters is in the basement of the hospital?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Here we go. That. Okay. Yeah.
And that gives them the excuse to bomb the hospital.
Right. But the doctors are all, and yeah, the IDF says everyone out of the hospital. The doctors say we can't get out because you guys are blocking everything. So where are we supposed to go? So, I mean, there's no way to verify any of this. But yeah, for sure, that's the oldest trick in the book. Oh, yeah, the headquarters is in the surgery theater or some nonsense like that. Come on, give me a break. But I guess they just figure people are just so gullible, they're going to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're buying it. And
I ain't buying it. You're not buying it.
No, I know.
I don't think, no. I don't know. Is this, I guess, do the young people buy it? Are they looking into the fakery? It's pretty crazy.
I think most of them are buying it. And I got a friend at the dog park. He's my age. And he's just a hysteria media guy. He thinks there's always going to be a happening. I've been talking to this guy for over a year, and every single week there's a new happening. It's like, don't you understand the banks are about to collapse? Don't you understand that the troops are gathering on the border in Ukraine? He was saying that when Germany sent the tanks over to Ukraine, don't you understand this is World War III? And it's like, that was like freaking 8 months ago. It's like, dude, nothing ever happened.
So he's afraid.
I look at this guy. He's like, I've been talking to you for over a year, and none of the things you said was going to happen ever happened. Nothing ever happened. There's a lot of people like that. I call them the hysteria people. It's like the Alex Jones people. They think there's a new thing that's going to happen every week.
Well, here's a video my daughter gave me tonight. I said, send me these videos. Here's another story to test the gullibility of people. And the gullibility level is very high for most people. So we'll watch this together. Well, these guys are on the beach. They dug a hole. Heading to China.
Thanks, Bernard. Now, finally, for now, a mysterious hole on a beach has caused a stir in North Dublin. A local astronomy enthusiast is hoping the crater in Portmarnock could be the aftermath of a cosmic event.
It's a huge, mysterious crater that looks out of this world. But is it? The unusual hole on Portmarnock Beach stopped local astrophysics enthusiast Dave Kennedy in his tracks yesterday, and he's certain the small but heavy rock inside it came from up above.
As you can tell by here, there's a scorch mark on this side here, so that would have been at the angle that it came down at. And it is weighty. I'm not sure if it's composition, but we're definitely going to have to find out.
The striking hole soon caught the attention of passers-by, many hoping that what they're witnessing is the aftermath of a once-in-a-lifetime cosmic event.
People want to believe so bad in the BS.
Yeah. Yeah, they want to be part of the story, too. They want to be the first. Like you saw in that video where people were taking selfies with the rock. And then they post it to their Facebook page, and they get all kinds of likes. And then it spreads around, you know, the internet. And people want to think that they know somebody from Columbine. Like I worked with a guy who said, I know somebody who died at Columbine. I said, oh, really? Well, which hospital did he go to? And then he just like ran away from me. Like I was like some guy. He just ran away. He ran away from me because I was asking them some critical questions, and he's never had that happen before. And so
when you see stories like that, though,
He wanted to be part of the story. He just want, and he gets away with it whenever he's in a conversation. He goes, like, I know somebody who died at Columbine. Oh, that's so sad. Oh, you know. But me, I was the first one he came across who said, and started asking him some detailed questions. But it's a part of the psyche. I almost used to be the same way. For instance, my grandfather worked at Northrop and he helped design the stealth bomber.
Okay.
And so I would tell my friend, oh, my grandfather works on the stealth bomber. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's something. But you see, my grandfather, we're alive now. I would have some probing questions for my grandfather, you know.
But he'd be compartmentalized, though. He wouldn't know the big picture, would he?
See, the stealth bomber, because the only payload it carries are nukes.
Right. Oh, boy.
I was 17 years old at the time. Yeah. My grandfather died when I think I was about, like, 17.
Okay.
And so I must have been, like, 16 or 15, one of the last times we had dinner, and I asked him, what's so special about the stealth bomber? I mean, what's the big hoopla about it? He goes, oh, wow, the stealth bomber. It carries nukes. And I said, so, don't we have ICBMs? It's like ICBMs, I thought, were the things that carried nukes. And so what do we need a stealth bomber for? I mean, because I was taught that our ICBMs can hit any target on Earth, you know, without nothing can shoot it down. And so what do we need a stealth bomber for if we got ICBMs? But
where are they now? After the ICBM game came out for the Atari back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. Remember that game?
Yeah.
What happened to them? They're like serial killers. They just went away.
Yeah, we should still have them, right? But nobody ever talks about them anymore.
Wouldn't you like to watch? I'd love to see one in action because let's be honest, that kind of distance, just shoot it across the ocean, blow something up within a few feet. Let's go.
Yeah, well, supposedly the ICBMs went into outer space and they went into orbit and they came down, and that's why it was impossible to stop them. Now Putin has come out. Yeah, Putin has come out with the hypersonic missile. It stays in the atmosphere. It doesn't go into orbit. And it's like, well, why do you need to build a hypersonic missile if you've got these ICBMs that are just indefensible?
Yeah.
The reason why you build a hypersonic missile is because outer space is fake. And so,
Well, that's stupid said. I was going to mention this. That's when Ronald Reagan was going to bring in Star Wars, SDI. Yes. Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah. That was to combat the ICBMs because the Star Wars was going to blast them in orbit. And so, it was the defense against the ICBMs.
All right. Well, I think that was the dinner bell going off. So we've been going about an hour and a half, which is good. We appreciate your time. That was fantastic. You do a lot of shows now. You do, you do gym on Fridays, I think. You do a Sunday show with the other two guys. You seem to be the only one that really talks about the fakery on that show. Do they buy into it?
Nimble Horse is a little bit interested in the fakery and, He's interested in this Gaza stuff.
Yeah.
They're mostly interested in the Christian identity and it's not my wheelhouse. But they're, you know, anybody who's willing to go on camera with me, is great. And so I dedicate the Sunday show because those guys are willing to go on camera.
One guy dresses up like Hitler.
Yeah.
And there's a pretty large group out there that believes that Hitler was an agent. Hitler wasn't the real deal. There were multiple Hitlers. The so-called Jews that he was against were actually helped in the Hitler production. What's your take on that?
The last Hitler, the one that had the Parkinson's, that his hand was trembling.
Okay.
That Hitler looks different. So that looked like a body double.
Yeah.
And
what about the one that gave the speeches? And who did those productions? Weren't they a Lenny, what was her name? Something Rosencrantz?
Yeah, Lenny.
Lenny Rosenthal?
Rosenthal. She's the one who did the Triumph of the Will. She's the one who did the Nuremberg rally, you know, when they had like 500,000 people that showed
right.
up.
To the, in, right. It was a big production.
She did the photography on that, and she did a lot of good productions for the for Joseph Goebbels and
What is it called? Riefenstahl.
Yeah, Riefenstahl. Yeah, Riefenstahl. Lenny Riefenstahl. Yeah.
Okay.
She was a good director, and she was ahead of her time. And
was she Jewish?
I think so. And she would do a lot of good stuff for the Joseph Goebbels and stuff. So
and the other thing is, if you this is one thing that puzzles me. If someone like you is telling the truth, and that's why you're on my show, because I think you are telling the truth. I think you're the real deal. Then you wouldn't get promoted. Now, why is Hitler promoted? He's the number one show on A&E. So why do the elite promote the guy they say is the devil incarnate? Like, they don't even mention Pol Pot, for Christ's sake. And I think Pol Pot was wiping out people at a pretty good clip in Cambodia. Yeah.
Well, because we know that the elections in Germany were completely controlled. We know the Jews controlled everybody who got elected there. Mm-hmm. And so
how did he get in?
So I'm thinking, here's what I'm thinking. My hunch is that Hitler was playing ball with the Jews. He was pretending to be on their side, pretending to be their puppet. And then in 1933, he gave them the finger. After he got elected, he gave them the finger and said, I'm not your puppet anymore.
Is that the same as Saddam and Gaddafi? Do you think they did the same thing?
Saddam, I think, was a puppet all along, because when he went to his execution, it was fake.
The
video splices. And so he faked his execution, which means he was...
That definitely wasn't the same Saddam we saw anyway. That was a very bad copy.
Yeah. And so it seems that Saddam was an agent all along and up until his death, and he didn't die. And so up until his supposed death. And Gaddafi, you know, when they killed him, that was we saw a little bit of blood, and it looked a little bit more believable.
It didn't look like the same guy either, though. I had a hard time tracking Gaddafi, because his appearance was different all the time, I thought.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I think the Gaddafi thing was looked a little bit more real than Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
I never did a deep dive into the into either. I should, because now that we're unraveling all the fakery in the Middle East, those are two major components that also need to be unraveled.
And
I think they will unravel easily now that we kind of know the common denominator, and that is the Palestinians have been faking it with the Israelis the entire time, and so that kind of opens up everything about the Middle East now. And so these things should unravel pretty easily now. So you
have a little bit of doubt about Hitler, at least.
You know, he did the beer hall push in 1923, and we don't have any photographs of that. I mean, it was right there in the downtown area where you had hundreds of cameras, all we have is paintings of the beer hall, all paintings of Adolf Hitler standing in the front. And then people say, well, Phil, you know, people were shooting guns. The people with the cameras ran away. They didn't want to get shot. Okay. Well, then afterwards, in the aftermath, the people with the cameras should have came in and started taking pictures, but we don't have any pictures of the aftermath either. We don't have any pictures of anyone even getting hurt in the beer hall push. All we have is cartoon painting renditions. And so I believe and the whole trial when Hitler went in for treason and the judge allowed him a podium, allowed Hitler to actually lecture the courtroom, that would never happen in a courtroom, especially when you're facing treason charges. And then Hitler only ended up spending 5 months in jail. And then during that time, he wrote Mein Kampf.
Yeah.
I don't think Hitler ever went to jail. I think he wrote Mein Kampf.
There's a lot of people that think a Jesuit priest wrote Mein Kampf as well. So.
Yeah, 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 it could be.
I mean, there's the farther back we go in history, the harder it is because there's just less material to work with. Mm-hmm. And but
yeah,
is there any reason to believe that any world leader can actually rise up past this oligarchy that rules, that has all the money, all these different dukes and duchesses and houses of this and houses of Medici and all, just all these original merchants that controlled all the money? I just am really suspicious if any world leader ever gets to the top, bubbles to the top, or they pulled to the top.
But Hitler seems to be different than all the other world leaders because he still lives, to this day, mm-hmm. lives rent-free, and he's still used in the propaganda.
Yes.
Like when we have a fake shooting like at the top supermarket last year. When
right.
Peyton Gendron did that fake show at the top supermarket, he was mentioning Adolf Hitler in his manifesto, and Robert Bowers when he shot up the synagogue in Pittsburgh. You know, and Brendan Tarrant when he shot up the mosque in New Zealand, and
yes.
John Ernst when he shot up the synagogue in San Diego, all these, Dylan Roof, he had a manifesto too that read basically the same as all these other manifestos. And so in all these manifestos, it talks about Adolf Hitler. Breivik, Anders Breivik in Oslo, remember when he bombed the government building in Oslo, and then he went to that island and he shot 70 kids on the island. That was all a fake show too. His manifesto also invokes Adolf Hitler. So why are they putting Adolf Hitler into all these manifestos? I mean, to this day, he still lives rent-free in their head, whereas Saddam Hussein doesn't live rent-free. I mean, everybody's forgotten about Saddam Hussein. And so there's something about Adolf Hitler that still permeates after all these years, and they're still bringing him up. And
yes.
So there's something. So there, we still haven't gotten to the bottom of the mystery of Adolf Hitler. And there is a lot of, you know, so I have watched, they took a lot of home movies of the Third Reich, a lot of home, you know, of just the everyday German that was living during the Third Reich.
Yeah.
I've watched hundreds of hours of that. Those people were real people, real salt of the earth people.
And they believed in him. But so, it's just like the people that believe in Trump. Trump was sold as a very similar character, very anti-establishment. But in the end, he can't get past the bankers and the elite families. You got to make deals with them, it seems. And you could say that Trump made deals, but how far has he gotten? You know?
What strikes me is how clean the streets were in Germany during those years. What a high standard of living. The cars were clean. The trains ran on time. They had trolleys running through the downtown area. There was no graffiti on the wall. There was no homeless people sleeping in tents. You know, the older those home movies get, the more striking they are because we look at today's world, and today's world looks like, you know, a Biff's playhouse. Remember in the Back to the Future 2 when Biff took over the world and we went on that alternative timeline and the whole world was like, see, that's what Los Angeles looks like to me today. It's just like this alternative timeline where it's just like misery and squalor and heroin addicts in the street. But you look at those whole movies of Germany. It was like everybody was well-dressed. The streets were clean. It's like, what the hell? We've gone backwards in one. Those videos are like almost 100 years old now. And it's like we've gone backwards the past 100 years. This is so that's what makes those videos just so shocking. And we haven't advanced. We are going backwards, in fact. And so we need to stop what we're doing and take another look at what exactly is going on here.
Well, there's no doubt that Hitler galvanized the nation. He got everyone on board. He was like all really populist type leaders. He really captured the imagination for a nation that was beaten down into the ground. So he was the right person for the right time. And I'm not going to disagree with anything he said about how he just got everything cleaned up and turned around. But you just have to wonder if he's there at the pleasure of the ruling elite, which I think they all are. personally, and I don't think he was an exception. That's really what I'm trying to get at. Did we answer your question, Lycurgus? He says, but answer the question, why did they A-N-E us? Nuremberg was a lie. Yeah, the whole Nuremberg trial definitely is full of all kinds of holes. And I don't think it's the wonderful story that we're all told. It's quite the story as well.
The fact that the Americans had to invent this Holocaust myth means that the Germans fought a clean war. They didn't. The Germans were defending their homeland. The Germans were not invading. We were told that the Germans were trying to conquer the world. That is absolute bullshit. They were defending their homeland, and we invaded their country, and we plundered their country. And then we invented this Holocaust myth to make them look like the bad guys. And so the whole Nuremberg thing, the way that we did that, just shows that it was a old fashioned loot and plunder. We went over there and invaded their country, and they did nothing wrong. And then we invented this myth and then most Americans think that
the Allies went to destroy the country, not invade it, and they did destroy it.
Yeah, and they destroyed Northern France because Northern France made friends with the Germans because. Northern France didn't want to be communist either. You see, they were fighting against Bolshevism, and right. The good people of Europe sided with Germany. Millions of Europeans sided with Germany because these are the people that didn't want to be Bolshevik. I mean, Spain had gone through a civil war just a decade earlier, and that's why General Ferdinand was friends with Hitler, because he knew exactly what Hitler was going through. Because he had to kick the Bolsheviks out of Spain, and he knew that Hitler was doing the same thing, yeah. So we had a problem last century when the Bolsheviks were baiting. The Bolsheviks were infiltrating and going into Western Europe, and the Bolsheviks won. The Bolsheviks ended up taking Berlin, which was Eisenhower allowed Stalin to take Berlin and George Patton didn't want that to happen. He said, if you let Stalin take Berlin, that means all of Europe will be communist. That's what General Patton said.
He was right, I guess.
A symbolic thing. Allowing the Bolsheviks to take Berlin meant the entire continent was communist. And then General Patton was assassinated in that car accident. That was not a car accident. It was a car on purpose. General Patton was assassinated. And because General Patton was going to blow the whistle on the whole thing. And
I don't even know that story. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, General Patton was going to blow the whistle. He learned the truth during the last 5 months of his life. When General Patton got into Germany and he learned the truth of what was actually happening in Germany, then he understood that they should have been fighting the communists all along. And General Patton realized that he had been helping the communists win the war. And see, General Patton didn't like that. So I helped these freak. I helped Joseph Stalin win the war. General Patton hated commies, and so yeah. And then General Patton got killed by the commies, and yeah. And we've been a communist world ever since, and yeah.
Communist world order.
Yeah.
All right, Phil. That was a good show. That was a whopper. Yeah. Well, we went on longer
than always. I know.
No, it's good. Rolling. Well, we have a lot. We have a lot. There's a lot to talk about. We have a lot in common. This is good stuff. This is why you're back every week. Everyone here is pretty enthusiastic. And man, are you ever putting in the hours? You can't say that anyone is doing more than Phil on his channel, Fake Nukes Phil.
Thanks. You know, it doesn't really take that much time. I mean, because Instagram is like. It's serving me up all these shooting fish
in a barrel, huh?
It's like shooting fish in a barrel and such. Like, I get up in the morning, I have like an hour, and I say, like, "Oh wow, look at this whopper!" And within 90 minutes, I got like 3 videos up and
basically. And you don't even have to say anything; you can just type in a title and say, "Look at this."
I put a little description. I say, "What does this look like to you?" And just put it up. Yeah.
All right. Well, keep up the good work. We'll have you back next Wednesday, and there'll be 20 more videos to talk about, I'm sure.
Yeah, good. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, man. Thanks. Have a good night and all the best. And we'll talk to you next week. All right, ciao for now. There goes Fake Nukes Phil. And we went a little long, but that's okay. I don't know if this video made it on FakeoTube. I'll have to upload it tomorrow. And the audio will be up instantly. The audio always goes up right away. And thanks, everyone, for joining in. Thanks for Phil and his show. Thanks for the donors, fakeologist.com/donate. Really appreciate all you guys donating, keeping this thing alive. Mr. E got one guy after him for accepting donations. Mr. E doesn't have a job, so I don't think there's anything wrong with supporting someone financially, even if it's a cup of coffee. Come on, you're really going to say he's in it for the money? I don't think so. Really, it's just encouragement. So the one guy that's making videos against Mr. E, I think you're going up the wrong tree. Mr. E is the real deal. Fake Nukes Phil is the real deal as well. He does a great job. So just stop it. Stop it when it comes to coming after these guys. I try and have the real deal guys on. These guys are the guys I think are doing real good work. And if I smelled a rat, I would probably wouldn't talk to them. So you got to support these guys. Cup of coffee or just an encouraging email. That's what you need to do. Thanks to a lot of people tonight on the audio stream, which is cool. I guess they're there because FakoTube didn't work. Although FakoTube said it did work, but I couldn't find it on the main page. So at least we have the audio, and YouTube worked as well tonight. So thanks to YouTube. And we'll see you tomorrow. I guess tomorrow's Thursday, and an ounce of salt per day should be here. So take care, and see you tomorrow, 8:15, 8:30 Toronto time. Take care again, and good night.